Where can you find hope for the hopeless? Opportunity for transformation. Peace amid life's storms. Only in God's free gift of eternal life. From New York, join us on the Pathway of Hope.
Everywhere in the world, there seems to be this human cry, we want to be free. Freedom is like an antacid to the human spirit. And that's why soldiers will endure hardship for the freedom of their country. Parents will endure hardship for the freedom of their children. One generation will endure hardship for the freedom of the next. And Christians will endure hardship for the freedom of the gospel. And yes, Jesus Christ himself endured hardship for the freedom of mankind. The Apostle Paul admonished us that we should endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ. To be a soldier for Christ requires commitment, endurance, and sacrifice. Oftentimes, we hear of soldiers abandoning their posts, refusing to answer the call of duty, or abusing their authority. Soldiers of Christ, on the other hand, must respond to the call of duty and be faithful at all times. I invite you now to relax and listen to Dr. Abraham Jules, an anointed preacher and a faithful soldier for Christ.
He promised us that he would be our counselor, a mighty God and the Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be our Father, and he would love us with a love that would not cease.
I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said he would be. The finest words I know cannot begin to tell just what Jesus really means to me. When I think the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of a man.
marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am, for he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything.
He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more.
Let us pray. Father, you have called us out of darkness into this, your marvelous light. You've called us to victory, but you've also called us to hardships. We pray tonight as we study this word that we'll be reminded of your call upon our lives and your willingness and ability to stand by us in those tough times and in tough places. We are assured tonight that your love is everlasting, your grace is unbounded, and your promises are true. Thank you for being with us, and may this word bring courage to the hearts of the listeners, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. There's a word for us tonight in the book of 2 Timothy in the New Testament. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Tonight's message will take us in a path and along a journey that will highlight for us that when God calls us, sometimes we are called to do some difficult things. Sometimes we are called to endure hardship. But at all times, we will be assured that God is with us. Now, Timothy enters the biblical picture in the book of Acts, chapter 16. His mother is a Jew and his father is a Gentile Greek. He's called a believer. And a deep and lasting friendship grew between the Apostle Paul and his understudy, Timothy. Paul must have had confidence in him because Timothy, we are told, accompanied him on many of his missionary journeys as they planted churches in several cities and provinces of the Roman Empire. Timothy probably helped Paul start the churches in Corinth, Philippi, Colossae, and Thessalonica. Now, this is an interesting combination. The aged apostle and seasoned evangelist, with this young trainee, this young intern, this upstart in ministry. This hardened persecutor turned church planter with a young and shy pastor. It always thrills my heart to see young and old work together. Always thrills my heart to see young people who love to be around older folk. You never know the value of sitting at the feet of someone who's been through some years of hardship and toil, who's lived for a little while. So it thrills my heart. Here, Paul and Timothy, old and young, the generations come together. Paul must have really felt a deep affection for Timothy, for we find him longing for Timothy's presence and his companionship. In 2 Timothy, this is Paul's last letter, he urged the young pastor Timothy to come and spend some time with him. And by this time, Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and Timothy is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. Knowing that Nero's nod could send him to his death, Paul longs to see Timothy. And at best, it would take several months for Timothy to reach him, and fearing that his demise is close at hand, Paul, we are told, pens his last epistle. In chapter 1, he says he prays constantly for Timothy and reminds him of his heritage of faith. It was that same faith that lived within his grandmother Lois. It was that same faith that burned in the breast of his mother Eunice. And it is now that same faith that ignites Timothy's life. And Paul counsels him not to be timid because God has given us a spirit of power and love and a strong mind. So in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he uses three images or metaphors. He uses these metaphors to depict what the Christian journey is all about. And he uses the metaphor of the soldier, the metaphor of the athlete, and the metaphor of the farmer. Now tonight we will concern ourselves with only the first, the metaphor of the soldier. You see, soldiers were common in the first century Roman world where Paul had lived. And so it would not be unusual for him to use this metaphor. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25, he called Epaphroditus his fellow soldier. And Philemon 2, he calls Archippus the same thing, his fellow soldier. And so we find him returning to this theme in 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. It reads, "Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs so that he may please his commanding officer. Paul calls Timothy to be a soldier. And not just any soldier, but a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 1:35, this is Paul now in prison. He's reflecting on his life and he says, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes." Again in 2 Timothy 4:10 and 14-16, "For Demas, because he loved this world, he deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." Listen to this. He continues by saying, "Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great disservice, and he did me harm. At my first defense," he says also, "no one came to my support,
but everyone deserted me. Here is Paul, a soldier, and he's kind of feeling sorry for himself because he was deserted by everybody. He learned to endure some hardships. And let it be known today, friends of mine, this Christian journey, sometimes you cry all by yourself. Folk may visit you in the hospital the first week you're in there, but after a couple of weeks, you're there alone. We cry alone. We feel the pain alone sometimes. Because as a good soldier, you must learn to endure some hardships. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God promised to those who love him." Revelation 3:11 says, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." The first quality of a good soldier is that he is steadfast. But the apostle hastens on to indicate that a good soldier is also single-minded. He says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. A better translation says it this way: no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life. The emphasis is not on being a soldier in quiet times. The emphasis is on warfare. It's on soldiering in battle. All of us could be great soldiers if we just stayed home and there was no war. Are you at war? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. If you don't hear the grenades of war exploding around you, at least every now and then, maybe you need to check your declaration of whose side you're on. Because if you are on Jesus' side, Scripture says, all who will live godly must suffer persecution. Amen. In Paul's Roman world, soldiers could not have their attentions diverted. There were to be no diversions. In order to protect the border of the Roman Empire, especially in far-flung areas, the Roman army was dispatched far and near. Garrisons were established all over the Roman world. Troops were always on the move. It was essential that they move rapidly, and this was facilitated by the vast network of roads. Daily discipline was the order of the day. There were no diversions. The soldier was single-minded. Further, in the midst of the battle, the soldier had to be single-minded because he knew that if he were not, it could mean his death. All that's on his heart is the battle. In the Roman world, that Paul was really operating in, a soldier was a soldier and he was nothing else. The Roman code of Theodosius said, "We forbid men engaged in military service to engage in civilian occupations. There must be no hindrance, diversion, or distraction." Indeed, the text literally reads that we must not be entangled. The Greek is emplekatai. This same word is used elsewhere in the New Testament, only in 2 Peter 2:20, to speak about not getting mixed up in the corruptions of the world. Elsewhere, Paul admonishes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. So the soldier is not to be caught up in the affairs of civilian life and conform to the world's standards. He's a soldier, not a politician. He's a soldier, not a debater. He's a soldier, not an entertainer. Scripture tells us. It tells us a whole lot about the need to be of single purpose. It is said of Jesus in Luke 9:51, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. We do well to follow our Lord's example. Luke 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. James 1, 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. And Luke 9:62, Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Why should a Christian be single-minded? There is a purpose clause in the text. We may read it as follows. No one on active service gets entangled in civilian affairs in order that he may please his commanding officer. There is one reason why we should be single-minded, so that we may please our commanding officer. This tells us that the final quality of a good soldier is service. Service is described in that the soldier sets out to bring joy and happiness and pleasure to his commanding officer. Actually, the word really points to the one who recruits the soldier. Now think of Roman military practice, not modern American military practice. In our modern context, the commander-in-chief is the elected president of the country. He does not have to be a warrior. Obama never served in any part of the military. George Bush didn't. No experience necessary. No combat necessary. No blood, sweat, and tears. How does a good soldier please his commanding officer? Well, he does a few things. First, he gives unquestioning obedience. Roman soldiers were trained to obey without question. The commander said it, and it was obeyed. Don't have to know the reason why. Soldiers of Christ obey his voice even when we don't understand what God is saying and why he's saying it. And the soldiers of Christ give wholehearted service. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your might. T. Marshall Kelly, when I was a student at Oakwood College, used to sing a song that goes something like this. It says, takes your head, takes your heart to serve the Lord. It takes full surrender to serve the Lord. It takes your time, it takes your means, and your prayers. It takes everything to serve the Lord. A good soldier, in order to please his master, knows the value of loyalty. When a Roman soldier joined the army, he took the sacramentum, the oath of loyalty to the emperor. A soldier was loyal to death. In Rome, a soldier would die in the emperor's name. Christians must be loyal to Christ through all of the twists and turns of life, even to the point of death. We must be loyal to his orders. It's not merely that I don't drink a little wine. I can't. I'm under orders. Because wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It's not merely that I don't eat any and everything. I can't. I'm under orders. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory and honor of God. It's not merely that I don't engross myself in pornography. I can't. I'm under orders. I've made a covenant with mine eyes that I will not look lustfully at a woman. Job 31 and verse 1. It's not merely that I can't watch any kind of movie. I really want. I'm under orders. Let no evil thing pass before thine eyes. It's not merely that I don't sow my proverbial wild oats. I can't. I'm under orders. Flee youthful lust. It's not merely that I don't work on the Sabbath. I can't. I'm under orders. Orders. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not merely that I don't do drugs. I can't. I'm under orders. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It's not merely that I don't sleep around. I can't. I'm under orders. Be therefore holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. So, soldiers of Christ, the battle is on. Are you a soldier? Then be a good soldier. Then be steadfast. Be single-minded. Be committed to service. My brothers and sisters, do you want to be a good soldier? There's a rich reward for good soldiers. I want you to note something of importance. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I've kept the faith. The only other place where we have this combination in the entire Bible is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, where Paul deals with battle and athletics. There's a link in Paul's mind, you see. The call to courage in chapter 2 is reflected in chapter 4 and verse 7. But the exciting thing is that a reward is enunciated. Let us read 2 Timothy 4:8. It says, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing." So I am committing myself to this battle. I want to be steadfast and single-minded and committed to service. Scripture says that all the promises of God are only yes in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us that. So I want to be obedient. And I want to say, like a good soldier, when God gives me an order, I want to say, "Yes, sir." When he says, "Go ye therefore and preach this gospel as a witness unto all the world," I say, "Yes, sir." When he says, "Be holy," I say, "Yes, sir." Preach the word in season and out of season. "Yes, sir." He says, "Be steadfast." I say, "Yes, sir." One day our Lord promises he'll come. He'll give to us a crown of life. And we live in a land where we'll never die again. We'll live with him where there'll be peace and everlasting joy. Endure hardship like a good soldier of the cross. Thank you, Lord, for this word tonight. Give us strength before we face the test, so that we can withstand all of our testing. In the name of Jesus, we pray with joy abundant and thanksgiving. Amen.
Thanks for watching Pathway of Hope. If you would like to be prayed for or would like to learn more about God's Word, please call 1-877-520-HOPE or 1-877-520-4673. You may also watch more of our programs online at www.pathwayofhope.tv. If you would like to make a tax-deductible love gift, please send your gifts to Pathway of Hope at P.O. Box 280704, Queens Village, New York, 11428. Thanks for watching Pathway of Hope, and may God's blessings be yours today.